So what I thought I'd do is, instead of giving you a poll, you know, vote for Joe because he did this legislation and this legislation, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about him from a personal perspective, from a sister's point of view. And you know, a kid sister has a book on a big brother, you know, we know it all. When Joe first ran for the Senate, everybody thought he was nuts because he was supposedly, he was too young, he was too liberal, we didn't have any money, we didn't have any party organization, and he was considered to be a hot shot with no shot. And the pundits, who all happened to be men at the time, said, you know, Joe, you gotta, if you're gonna do this, you gotta have a campaign manager, somebody who's brilliant and is a strategist and who has experience. So, ta-da. He chose me. Now, and I've run all of his campaigns ever since he ran for class president. I'm not this time around because I'm the vice chair at the Biden Institute for Domestic Policy at the University of Delaware. So I can't be running a university, a public university, and his campaign. So I do this on my spare time. So, to all the pundits, they thought this was nuts that he would choose his kid sister to, you know, to run his campaign. And but to us, it made perfect sense because since my entire life, my brother has brought me along with him. I opened my eyes and he was there, and he put out his hand. And he said, "Come on, kid, we got things to do and places to go and people to see," and we began our journey. And when his friends would say, "Why did you bring a girl?" His answer was, "She's not a girl, she's my sister." He told me that anything that he could do, I could do better. Somebody say, "Boy, Biden, you are really smart." He said, "Well, you met my sister, she's smart." Now, the reason I tell you that is not just because to tell you that he was a great big brother, but because that's how Joe deals with the people that he meets, and that and his that's why he's a leader. Because what he does, he's the kind of person who helps others find their own power. You know what the kiss of death is, don't you? It's like, "Bless your little heart, I'm going to take care of you." My brother's doesn't ever say that. He said, "Bless your little heart, get off your fanny, and let's take care of it together." And so we don't need to be empowered. We already are powerful. We just need the opportunity, and we need the confidence and the guts to get up and go take it. And that's what my brother did with me, and that's what he's done with the community writ large. We were raised in a middle-class home with unbending middle-class values, which were faith, family, and duty. My dad was a car salesman. Our dad, there's three brothers and me. So I never knew that women were disenfranchised. I thought they ran the world because I had three brothers, and they no sooner cross me than cross a snake, you know? I mean, because again, sisters rule. But my parents, my dad was a car salesman, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, like most moms were at that time. And they told us that we could be anything we wanted to be. And my brother went on to be a senator and then vice president and now running for president. They told us that America was a land of great opportunity and it was a very special place. But they told us to look around, and what was a land of great opportunity for us was not an equal playing field for everybody else. There was not equal justice and there was not equal opportunity. And Mom and Dad said, when you see injustice or when you see inequality, it's your job, darn it, to stand up and to engage. And that's what my brother has done his entire public life. He took it to heart to help protect and grow the American dream. And it's why he passed the Violence Against Women Act and went on campuses to do It's On Us. He was the first person to speak out on marriage equality. And he's the one who, you know, wants to make sure that our community colleges, at least 2 years of community college or 2 years of training or apprenticeship, are free, so that everybody's got a shot. Because he believes, which is middle class. You know, when the middle class rises, when we do well, everybody does well. I think that probably one of the most defining characteristics of my brother is a lesson that he learned from our dad. Our dad was a gentleman and a gentle man. And he told us from time I can remember that the greatest sin was the abuse of power. And that's something that my brothers and I took to heart. The abuse of power comes, as we all know, in many different ways. When we think of it, the first thing we think about is physical. But it's physical, it's social, it's economic, and it's psychological. And we all know that you don't have to tear your skin to have your heart ripped out. And that's what's been happening to us here in this country. We're having our heart ripped out. Joe learned that lesson early on, and it is central to who he is. When he was a little kid, he was a terrible stutterer. He couldn't string more than three words together at a time. And kids made fun of him. You know, kids are cruel sometimes. And because of that, my brother knows what it feels like to be silenced and to be shut down and to be bullied. But he determined early on that he was not going to be defined by a bully. And instead, he developed a backbone of steel. He understood also early on that we all have our bullies. You know, it's not unique. I bet if you just think for a moment, it doesn't even take you that long to remember that kid in fifth grade or the person in your workplace right now, you know, and the bile kind of, when you think about it, rises to the back of your throat. Because humiliation has a long shelf life. The story, I want to tell you a little side story. My brother went, education was the key when my parents said, you know, that the world is your oyster, you can go out and do whatever you want, but we had to be educated. So we went to Catholic parish schools, and then I went to the all-girls Catholic school, which was Ursuline Academy, and my brother went to Archmere Academy. And he worked in the summers to pay for his tuition, and thank God I had a bachelor uncle, and I was his favorite, and he paid for my tuition to go to Ursuline. And our job was to be good students. That was what our end of the bargain was. So Joe's at Archmere, and he wanted to play football. I mean, if you asked him what he wanted to be, a president or a doctor or a football player, he would pick football. But he was a little guy. This is probably, I think it was sophomore or junior year. But he didn't grow up to be this, he was a late bloomer, and I did not grow up to be this voluptuous woman overnight. It took me some time. So my brother was littler and scrappy. So the football team won their championship. This is a small Catholic boys' school. They didn't win the state championship or all conference. I want to be very careful that whatever it was, whether it was the Catholic League or CYO, it was a big deal to them. They won their division. And so everybody on the team got a football with all the guys signed it. And my brother came home and showed me the football. And I looked down and I saw the big guy in the team the big guy, whose name I remember but won't say. And he signed the ball to, it was -- Biden. And I said, Joey, look at this. The guy finally acknowledges you. I mean, he was little, he was scrappy, he was fast. And I said, he's finally giving you credit. You know, God love him. And my sister, I didn't say God love him, but you know, good for him. And my brother looked at me and smiled, and he said, only a kid sister would say that. He said, -- stands for Joe Biden. I still remember the guy. Yeah. So, you know, in response, again, I don't think that my brother's unusual. We all had tragedies and we all have trials. But we all have a choice to make when that happens to us. And when you meet a bully, or you've been bullied, you can choose to become a bully yourself. And you can hate and despise and disdain people who don't look like you, who don't talk like you, and whose values that you have no clue what their values are. Or you can choose and understand that we're all in this together, and that we have to work together to make things happen. And there's a quality that is so missing in our civil discourse now, and it's called empathy. And my brother chose empathy. He's been there, he's walked the walk, and he gets it. In the tragic part, when he's had faith and family to carry him through, and in the plain old bullying part. So I think that that's what he spent his life. He spent his life helping people who are disenfranchised or left behind through no fault of their own. That's what he's committed his life to. And I say to you, just imagine for a second, a leader with empathy. I mean, what a novel idea that would be. Ben Nighthorse Campbell was a Democratic senator from Colorado. He was the first Native American. And he said it best, which was that you cannot lead unless you can heal. And my brother understands that. And he understands that because of where he's been, that every single life is an incredible act of bravery. And what we got to do now is we got to heal. Again, I'm not making him this second coming or this Messiah, and he's going to come in and lay the hands and, you know, peace be with you and everything's going to be good. It's going to be tough. We got a lot to fix. We got a lot to work out. But make no mistake about it. Character is on the ballot this year. And it's not just Joe's character I'm talking about. It's your character. And it's the character of the United States of America. And it's what Barack Obama saw in him, the character, what Joe put his life and directed his life towards was, you know, writing the Violence Against Women Act, taking the assault weapons off the market. He beat the NRA twice. Voting rights. I mean, he was responsible for the Voting Rights Act to be reauthorized twice. And right now, do you know that, what am I telling you for? 24 states out of our states, 24 are pulling back voting rights, going back towards Jim Crow right now, today. And Joe will not let that happen when he's president of the United States. And the big thing, which is really important, and I don't mean to put it in it separately, is, you know, we're all talking about climate change, which disproportionately affects people, communities of color, and a lower income. And Joe, in 1984 or 86, I'm not sure which one, he was the first person to introduce climate legislation in the Senate. PolitiFact, not his sister, but PolitiFact called him a game changer and a pioneer in climate change. So look, I'll kind of try and sum this up. There's an old adage, which I want to quote directly. People don't care what you know until they know you care. And Joe says we're in the battle for the soul of our nation. And it's a soul that, are you asking me? Oh, I thought you needed help. Or you were going to crack me. I wasn't sure which one. We're in the battle for the soul of our nation. And it's a soul that's been ripped apart by bigotry and ignorance and ugliness. But it's a soul that, despite the disappointments and despite the inconsistencies, it's a soul that's going to be healed by the ideals and the decency and the respect of you and regular, ordinary Americans stepping up to the plate and saying, not on my watch, no more. And that's what we got to do. So, look, moral of my story is that we are better than Trump. We are better than this country that we're living in right now. And we gotta rise up and say no more.